Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. This is the Seed of Faith. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific time at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga for worship, or you can join our live stream at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream, or if you miss all that, you can always go to our YouTube channel, which is The Seed Christian Fellowship, and watch our complete worship services, our children's messages, or our weekly sermons. Today's message is, I'm going to talk a little bit about Epiphany. And the title of this message is Uncomfortable, Unwilling, and Unleashed. Our passages today come from Micah chapter 5, 1 through 5, and then Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Let us go to the Lord in prayer before we go to God's Word. Lord God Almighty, as we open your Word, may the light and the love of Christ and the grace of Christ just radiate from your words so that our lives are transformed. Help us to grow in your grace. Let us not be uncomfortable. Let us not be unwilling. And let us not be unleashed. But let us just go out into your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Micah 5, 1 through 5. Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid upon us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Did you know that almost 700 years before the birth of the Messiah in Bethlehem, the prophet Micah proclaimed the good news of the coming king? Think about it for a few moments. For 700 years, the story had been passed down from generation to generation that God would send a Savior, and this Savior would be born in a little village called Bethlehem. This shepherd Savior would come in majesty of the Lord, and his greatness would be known to the ends of the earth. People waited and watched for this day to happen. Some gave up waiting and watching, but not the Magi from the east. They waited, they watched, they went, and they worshiped. Let us listen again to this wonderful story of the visit of the Magi as recorded in Matthew chapter 2. As Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. Verse 5. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Wow. That's a lot. The wise men were wise because of what? They were wise enough to seek Jesus. They were wise enough to ask for information. They were wise enough to worship Jesus when they found him. The wise men and their actions. Look at just, I'll kind of brief it out in those 12 verses. One, they came to Jerusalem. That was in verse 1. In verse 2, they asked where the king of the Jews would be born. In verse 2, they wanted to worship Jesus. In verse 9, they went on their way. In verse 10, they saw the star. In verse 10, it says they were overjoyed. In verse 11, they saw the child. In verse 11, they bowed down. In verse 11, they opened their treasure chest. And in verse 12, they returned home a different way. Well, today is the day after Epiphany. Epiphany is always the 12 days after Christmas. And we will be, well, excuse me, this is not the day after Epiphany. This is 1-7. So, yeah, it is. It is the day after Epiphany because Epiphany is January 6th. Epiphany means manifestation. Epiphany is the day that was set by the early church as the day God manifested Christ, the Savior, to the Gentiles with the coming of the wise men to Bethlehem. There are 330 different prophecies of the coming of the Messiah in the Old Testament. Did you hear me? 330 different prophecies of the coming of the Messiah in the Old Testament. Matthew gives us four of them right here in chapter 2 alone. Think of it for a minute. If you are a mathematician, what are the odds of four of the 333 prophecies being fulfilled in one person? I'm not a mathematician. I can't figure that out. What are the odds of one person fulfilling all 330? That is exactly what happens when Christ is born. The story of the wise men visiting the Christ child is an intriguing one. These men waited, they watched, and when they saw the promise of the star fulfilled, they went and worshiped. So they waited, they watched, they went, and they worshiped. We have been waiting a long time for this worldwide pandemic called COVID-19 to be under control. We've been waiting for our families to come back together. We've been waiting for schools to come back to normal. We've been waiting for our churches to come back to normal. We have been waiting for a lot of things in this past year. We have been watching. What are you watching for? What are you waiting for? I was wondering about that a lot as we have this time. Some of us had the opportunity to go outside and look at the stars during this past week, and we've seen the bright stars. I wonder if this is the time when we can see what God is doing. Can you comprehend this story of the wise men from the east? This traveling caravan of wise men and servants began a long trip to Israel simply because a particular star was in the sky alerting them to the birth of the King of the Jews. They traveled for several months before they finally met the Christ child. I believe this is more than just a story to entertain us. It is a story to teach us about our own personal response to Christ, the child born King of the Jews. Maybe a good little so what for each one of us. What is our response to the child born King of the Jews? That's a good question to ponder as we begin this new year. I always have these little ditties that I like to make up. So for 2023, I thought I would make one up, and it says, "See through Christ all you can be in 2023. My wife says that's a little long. So I just said, "Be free in 2023. Be free from pain. Be free from hurt. Be free from guilt. Be free from shame. Shame. Be free from sin. Be free from unforgiveness. Be free in 2023. What is our response to the child-born King of the Jews? We do not know much about the wise men, who they were, how many of them there really were, how long they traveled, which routes they traveled. We're not told how they knew about the birth of the child, how they knew to follow the star. Maybe for 700 years, the story had been passed down from father to son, father to daughter, mother to daughter. I don't know how it was passed down. And it was passed down telling them to wait and to watch for the star because a new king would be born. There have been many debates about the star the wise men followed. Was it really a star? Was it a comet? Was it the Shekinah glory of God? Shekinah is the Shekinah glory is the glory the shepherds saw when the angels appeared to them. Over the years, tradition has narrowed it down to three wise men because they brought three types of gifts. We've called them kings or magi, and well, they've even been given names, Caspar, Melchior, and Belteshazzar. I assume they were narrowed down to three because of the three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. To be honest with you, we don't know that in the days when Christ was born, gold was a gift given to the kings. We know that. Frankincense was a gift given to the priests, and myrrh was given to those who died. Can you find Christmas in this story? Even in the shadow of the manger, the cross is forthcoming. We could spend our time talking about the gifts and their significance. We could relate the gifts to what gifts we could bring. But what I would like to do today in our time together is to reflect on the three different responses to the birth of the Christ child in this story. Herod and the people of Jerusalem, they were uncomfortable. The chief priest and the teachers of the law, well, they were unwilling. And the wise men, well, they were unleashed. Uncomfortable, unwilling, or unleashed. Where are you today? After celebrating Christmas, I wonder which one we really are. Uncomfortable, unwilling, and unleashed. Matthew tells us in verse 3 that Herod and the people of Jerusalem, they were uncomfortable. Matthew puts it this way, when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. The verb used for frighten in the original Greek is very descriptive and has been translated to English with many different words like disturbed, terrified, and frightened. The verb is in the active voice, and it literally means to shake, stir up, trouble, or agitate. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. This week's Seed of Faith is Uncomfortable, Unwilling, and Unleashed. Which are you? If you need prayer, our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon. You can email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. And I would love to pray for you guys. The verb frightened is, well, it's an active, literally, it means to shake up, to stir, or to trouble or agitate. Herod would have been agitated, terrified, and frightened when he heard the news that the Magi, the wise men from the east, had come to town looking for a child who was born to be a king, the king of the Jews. Herod's political power was at stake. Herod wanted to be the one and only king. News of another king would have terrified him and made him quite agitated and uncomfortable. King Herod threatened by a tiny newborn infant. Wow, can you picture that? The great King Herod threatened, terrified, agitated, threatened by a tiny newborn infant. Have you run into people who are uncomfortable with the news of Christ being born King of the Jews, the Messiah, the Savior? Maybe they are uncomfortable because of their own little world. There's only room for one person to be great. Uncomfortable, terrified, frightened, agitated, and disturbed is the first response of King Herod to the news of the birth of Christ. Unwilling. The second response to the Magi is illustrated by the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They were unwilling. I find it interesting that when Herod feels uncomfortable, he calls for the chief priests and the teachers of the law. Tell me, where is the Messiah to be born? He says. Here were the key scholars of the Jewish religious society. The Sadducees were the chief priests who ruled and controlled the temple, and the Pharisees who were the scribes and teachers of the law. Do you find it interesting that they proved to Herod that they knew where the child was to be born? Bethlehem. But they were unwilling to believe the news they heard from the wise men. Trust me, of all the people on planet Earth, they knew. They knew. They knew. They had been told the story for over 700 years. The shepherd king would be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem? Well, Bethlehem is only 5 miles from Jerusalem. Don't you think if we had been waiting for something like this to happen, we would, well, maybe stroll over to take a look ourselves, or we would run over, we would get on our chariot or horse or donkey or camel and go 5 miles? I mean, 700 years of waiting, and these guys are unwilling, plain and simple. The story has been told of a young mother and her 5-year-old child doing their last-minute shopping for Christmas. The young mother was rushing in and out of aisles in the department store, trying desperately to complete her final task. It was in one of those busy aisles that the mother lost the hand of her little boy. After a few minutes, she realized her son was missing. Becoming terrified, she began to run up and down the aisles looking for her son. To her amazement, she saw him kneeling down at the front of the store in front of a manger scene. When the mother reached for her son, she began to scold him and ask him, "What are you doing?" The little boy looked up with wonder in his eyes, and he shouted out that the baby Jesus, "Mom, the baby Jesus is lying in the manger." The mother grabbed her son's hand and pulled him to his feet and told him, "Sweetheart, we don't have time for that right now." Wow, right there in front of her was Christmas. She had been so busy planning and shopping that she swept right by the moment. This poor mother was so wrapped up in her to-do list that she was unwilling to be interrupted. For the chief priests and the teachers of the law, accepting the news of birth of the Christ child, well, it would mean a change for them in their political power and religious influence. It would mean that this Christ child was more than a story foretold from long ago. Acknowledging this Christ child meant there was a real person born to rule and reign as King, Savior, Lord, and Shepherd of all their lives. For these guys, there was a lot at stake. A lot of personal power and influences. Can we identify? Well, I think we can. I know many people who are unwilling to respond to the news of the child born the King of the Jews. For over 2,000 years, the news of the birth of Christ has been proclaimed in songs, books, movies, churches, and by individuals, yet there are many who are simply unwilling to respond. Why? Responding to the news would mean giving up power and control. And giving Christ control to be our Savior, our Lord, our Messiah, and our King. The chief priests and teachers of the law, they were unwilling. They were unwilling to give up their power, they were unwilling to give up their control, and they were unwilling to give up religious influence. The frantic mother had a list to conquer, and she did not have time for unplanned interruptions. I love the story of the wise men. Because it paints a picture of true worshipers. The Jewish leaders had the letter of God's word. The Magi had even less knowledge of the true God, but they knew, they believed, and they followed. The Greek word Magi, well, it means great. These Magi were great among their people. Excuse me. Like the chief priests and teachers of the law. But these wise men were wise enough to keep seeking. They were wise enough to notice a new star on their horizon. They were wise enough to make plans to follow. I love the story of the wise men because it paints a picture of true worshipers. The Jewish leaders had the letter of God's word. The Magi had less knowledge of their true God, but they knew. They believed and they followed. The Greek word Magi means great. These Magi were great among their people, like the chief priests and the teachers of the law. But these wise men were wise enough to keep seeking. They were wise enough to notice a new star on the horizon. They were wise enough to make plans to follow. They were wise enough to ask Herod for further directions. Many joked that Moses wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because he never asked for directions. How many men never asked for directions? These wise men asked, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? We have saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship it." Verse 11 in Matthew tells us, on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. The wise men were not uncomfortable like King Herod. They were not unwilling like the chief priests and teachers of the law. These wise men were unleashed. Unleashed to worship God. What a wonderful image of true worshipers. In the Gospel of John chapter 4, with the story of the woman at the well, we're told that the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and truth. The wise men were unleashed to worship the newborn king. Wouldn't it be a great to have a DVD of all that? Worship the King by the wise men. What do we think of when we think of worship? Worship can be done kneeling in adoration or standing in admiration. Worship can be sung in psalms and classical or traditional hymns in a chorus of praise. Worship can happen in quiet, contemplative atmosphere with hands folded or in a loud hand-raising experience. We have learned that worship can happen virtually on a computer screen. Worship is a matter of our hearts being unleashed to the wisdom of Christ. King Herod was not unleashed. He felt threatened of a baby. The chief priests and teachers of the law were too afraid of losing their power and influence. They were too busy to travel 5 miles. So what? What do these wise men have to do with us today? What can we learn from them? I believe that at times we are a lot like King Herod. We're uncomfortable. I believe that at times we're a lot like the chief priests and the teachers of the law, unwilling. I believe that at times we're a lot like those that are just uncomfortable and unwilling. My hope and prayer is that we will learn to overcome our uncomfortable unwillingness and instead become unleashed. Unleashed with the news of the birth of the Christ child. Unleashed like the wise men to bow down and worship the King with the gifts of our lives. We sit at the brink of a new year. The slate is clean. The canvas of 2023 is blank. Are we going to be uncomfortable? Are we going to be unwilling? Are we going to be unleashed? Jonathan Edwards in the 18th century, he was a revivalist, sat down at the age of 17 and penned 21 resolutions by which he would live his life. He added to that list until by his death he had 70 resolutions. Edwards put on the top of his list, being sensible enough that I am unable to do anything without God's help. I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions. Remember to read over these resolutions once a week. Edwards did not casually make New Year's resolutions with the expectation of eventually breaking them. Each week he did a self-check. He regularly summed up how he was doing and sought help in God's help from God in the process. What are your resolutions for this new year? What are we going to write down on our slate of 2023? What are we going to paint onto the canvas of our lives in 2023? What are our resolutions for your church? What are your resolutions for your children and your grandchildren, your family, your work? When I became a Christian, my mentor and pastor asked me to pick a life verse. The first verse that I memorized was Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight." But the verse I chose as my life verse came from Paul's letter in Philippians 3, 10 and 11. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead. Whatever your resolution may be, whatever your resolution for your church or your family or your work may be, I ask you to check it regularly. My prayer for each and every one of us that will be unleashed. Unleashed to seek Christ, unleashed to ask for directions, unleashed to worship in spirit and truth. Let us pray. God of creation, your love is so amazing. Help us not to be like Herod, uncomfortable, because we only have enough room for one king, me. Help us not to be like the chief priests and teachers of the law, unwilling to let the news of Christ rule in our hearts, but become unleashed like the wise men, foolish to abandon ourselves fully by following the newborn king. May we all be unleashed to seek you, to follow you, and to find you. May we be unleashed to worship you in spirit and truth. Give us dreams and visions of your great love and lead us by your guiding light. We pray we will wait, we will watch, and we will worship. We pray our gifts we bring will be gifts fit for the King. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center. at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.